Welcome to Earnestly Contending for the Faith.com. This is Brother Mike Sutherland. Today we're going to be starting a 7-part series that we have given the title, The Importance of Sound Bible Doctrine. In the context of this study, in this 7-part series, we will start out with an introduction. Then we will deal with the question of why is a study of doctrine important. Then we'll speak to what Old Testament teaching concerning doctrine. And then we're going to talk about the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ concerning doctrine. Then the teaching of the apostles concerning doctrine. And then the teaching of Paul's use of the word doctrine in the book of Acts and the epistles to the churches. And then we'll deal with Paul's use of the word doctrine in the pastoral epistles. Next, we'll deal with Paul's use of the word doctrine in the epistle to the Hebrews. And then we'll deal with the Apostle John's use of the word doctrine in his general epistles. And then we'll talk about the application of doctrine and biblical unity in the Holy Ghost versus heretical ecumenical unity in satanic human diversity. After that, we'll deal with a topic we've called walls of separation or commanded between the holy and the profane, between the saved and the unsaved. Then we'll deal with the command to separate both individually and as a church from false doctrine and false prophets. And then we're going to answer the question, is it scriptural to call apostates and heretics out by name? And then we'll do a short conclusion of the study. And I will let you know that at the conclusion of this study, we will be uploading a doctrine upon which we have based everything that we will say in this particular series upon. That particular doctrine is documented somewhere around 70 pages. Okay, let's move on into our lesson for today. Let me state at the outset that the purpose of this series is not to bash people who hold to the false doctrines that will be identified during this series. My problem is not with the people, but with the doctrine. As Christians, we are charged by Jude 3 to earnestly contend for the faith. The faith is that body of doctrine that was delivered unto us by the Lord Jesus Christ, the apostles, and the prophets of both the Old and New Testaments as they are contained in our King James Bible. I am an independent Baptist because I believe that doctrinally many independent Baptists are the closest to the Bible doctrine which was once delivered unto the saints. I have problems with many of my independent Baptist brethren who unscripturally preach and teach Calvinism, amillennialism, lordship salvation, easy believism, and rapture doctrines other than the pre-tribulation rapture, and so forth. Now the 1-2-3 repeat after me prayers are the devil's inoculation against the gospel. I do not believe that independent Baptists have the corner on biblical truth because there are other Bible-believing churches that are not called Baptists that are just as doctrinally sound as any independent Baptist church I know of. Before independent Baptists walked away from the old path, or should I say ran away from the old path, it meant something to be an independent Baptist. Since we are in an era of full-blown apostasy in our independent Baptist churches, the name independent Baptist does not mean what it once did. Gone is the preaching on hell. Gone is the preaching against sin. Gone is the exhortation to holy living. Neither will most independent Baptists preach and teach under the anointing of God the Holy Ghost because they are fearful of the condemnation of men. Most preachers and teachers today have become a bunch of politically correct men pleasers. There is no power in their pulpits and lecterns because there is no sound doctrine coming forth from them. Most preachers and teachers today would rather offend God than they would the sinful Christians and the unbelieving apostates and heretics sitting in their pews. Most preachers today who preach on sanctification and holiness just preach it, but do not enforce discipline and biblical standards on themselves or their congregations. They honor God with their words, but deny Him in their actions. Most preachers and teachers today are delivering speeches that are laced with the enticing words of men's wisdom and do not go forth in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Most congregations today have heaped to themselves teachers having itching ears who are turning them away from the truth. There is no responsibility to God for the men in our congregations to ensure that their teachers, preachers, pastors, and evangelists are not preaching and teaching heresy. The only way we can fulfill that responsibility is to rightly divide the word of truth and meditate upon it. The Bible says this in Acts chapter 17, verses 10 and 11. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. That's Acts 17, verses 10 and 11. Folks, that is a charge. We are to be Bereans. We are to, I do not believe that doctrine is the exclusive responsibility of preachers, teachers, and pastors. There is nothing that is taught in a Bible-believing Bible Institute or Bible-believing seminary that cannot be taught to the average church member if they are willing to learn. If we are able to discern between good and evil, we must study and sharpen our ears to receive good biblical doctrine and to reject evil, false doctrine. In a passage of Scripture that will be oft repeated in this study, the Holy Ghost had this to say in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 through 14. Verse 11, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. That's Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 through 14. Folks, our thoughts must be shaped on the pure doctrinal anvil by the hammer of God's word. Our thoughts also must be sharpened on the hone of God's word, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Folks, the word of God will discern what your thoughts and intents are. This particular topic on doctrine could take many volumes to expound. That is not our objective here, though some will probably think it is before we get through. If we look at the average Baptist Bible college, or any other Bible college for that matter, we will see that they divide the study of the Bible into 10 major doctrines. Those 10 doctrinal groups are, number 1, the doctrine of the Scriptures, which they call bibliology. Number 2, the doctrine of God, which they refer to as theology. Number 3, the doctrine of Christ, which they refer to as Christology. Number 4, the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, which is what they refer to as pneumatology. Number 5, the doctrine of man, which they refer to as anthropology. Number 6, the doctrine of sin, which they refer to as hamartiology. And number seven, the doctrine of salvation, which they refer to as soteriology. Number eight, the doctrine of the church, which they refer to as ecclesiology. Number nine, the doctrine of angels and Satan, which they refer to as angelology. Number 10 is the doctrine of last things, which is typically referred to as eschatology. The Baptist Doctrine's course material that I have used to teach from for many years has a total of 76 lessons, many of which take more than one session for me to teach. The Baptist Doctrine's course material is not mine, but I have greatly expanded upon it over the years. I have a copy of the course outline that identifies the title of each lesson. I also have a Master Heresies list that I will be referring to during this study that identifies 182 heresies held to by the heretics in so-called Christian churches. That illustrates why a study of doctrine is of the utmost importance. So, why is the study of doctrine important? A study of doctrine is extremely important for at least the following seven reasons. Number one, a study of doctrine is a command of God. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 states this, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Once again, that's 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. What this means is that if you're going to partake of the spiritual table of God, then you are going to have to work for it. God does not approve of lazy preachers and teachers that are not workmen in the Word of God. Preachers and teachers are under an obligation to God and to their congregation and classes to study. If you're not going to study, then you're going to starve your congregation and your Sunday school class. If you're not going to study, then the very best that you can offer your flock is milk and not strong meat. Preachers and teachers are not commanded to study doctrine so that they might have some great head full of knowledge to impress people with. They are commanded to study doctrine so that they might have the spiritual weapons to defend their flocks when Satan's doctrinal wolves come in. The teaching of strong biblical doctrine erects walls of separation around God's people. Number two, the second reason for studying doctrine. A study of doctrine is required of pastors, preachers, and teachers in Ephesians 4, verses 14 and 15, Titus chapter 1, verse 9, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, and 2 Timothy 2, verses 24 through 26. We're going to go and read those now. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14, "That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about by, with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ." That's Ephesians chapter 4, verses 14 and 15. Next we read Titus chapter 1, which states, "Holding fast the faithful word as he had been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers." Then we have 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." That's 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. Then we have 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24 through 26. Verse 24, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that impose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at His will. That's 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24 through 26. Now, while 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus are referred to as pastoral epistles, their teaching is not limited to those pastoring, preaching, and teaching. If you think God has called you to preach and teach, then you must be faithful and be prepared to endure hardness because you are a soldier in God's army. You must also be prepared to commit the strong meat of the Word of God to other faithful men. That will require much study and a lot of time. According to 2 Timothy 2, verses 24 through 26, which we just read, one of the objectives of teaching is to give believers the tools to recover themselves from the doctrinal snares of the devil. Now, for reason number 3, that a study of doctrine is important. A study of doctrine is required of all believers. Folks, that's not just preachers, teachers, and pastors. That is all believers. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 through 14, which we've already read one time, and we're going to read it again. That's going to be one of the theme verses of this particular series. And then also 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. All right, let's reread Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 through 14. Verse 11, "Of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." That's Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 through 14. Then we have 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, which states the following, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Again, that's 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. How many of those in our modern churches who are unlearned in doctrine, particularly in the doctrine of salvation, would find themselves stuttering if asked to give a testimony to a lost person of how and when they were saved? Most professing Christians today know very little Bible. Most Christians today cannot tell a lost person from the Bible how to get saved. Many of those who do witness have canned plans that do not rely upon the conviction of the Holy Ghost. Don't get me wrong. The Romans Road and the John's Road are good things, but we need to be much more familiar with the Scriptures because the devil has a wicked habit of casting stumbling blocks into the road that leads to salvation. Many objections are raised by the lost, and you need to be able to answer them from the Scriptures. The devil also has many wicked ways to reach out and turn off the light of the glorious gospel. Be prepared, be holy and sanctified, be prayed up, be ready to respond to the leadership of the Holy Ghost if He is leading you away from a canned presentation to a lost sinner. Now, we have a four-part series that we have done that we titled Objections to Salvation Answered, and in that particular series, we deal with 44 different excuses that people use as reasons for not being getting saved. I would encourage you to go and look at that particular study. Number 4 in our 7 reasons that we need to be studying doctrine and why it is important. Number 4, a study of doctrine is a must for the protection of the church in these days of apostasy. We'll look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, 2 Timothy 3, verses 13 and 14, 2 Timothy 4, verses 2 and 3, and Jude 3. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. That's 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 2. Now let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Verse 1, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. That's 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Now those that are incontinent have no self-control. They are consumed by their lust. Those that are heady are rash in their thought processes and in their actions toward others. Next up, we have 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Verse 13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. That's 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Then we have 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. And those verses read as follows. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. That is 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. And then we have Jude, verse 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Those are some very, very powerful passages of Scripture that deal and present really a perfect picture of what is going on in the church in America today. Reason number 5 for studying doctrine. A study of doctrine produces strong men of God. Want to go and read Joshua chapter 24, verses 15 and 16, Acts chapter 5, verses 27 to 29, 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13, and Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11 through 14 again. Remember that those particular verses in Hebrews chapter 5 are really the theme verses for this particular study. Joshua chapter 24, verses 15 and 16 state the following. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. That's Joshua chapter 24, verses 15 and 16. Then we have Acts chapter 5, verses 27 through 29. Verse 27, and when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. That's Acts chapter 5, verses 27 through 29. And then we've got 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men. Be strong. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 14. And again, we have Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11 through 14. If I accomplish nothing else in this particular series, if I could get you to dwell and meditate upon Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 through 14, by repeating it over and over again, I will do exactly that, because repetition is the rock-solid foundation upon which scriptural memories are built. I encourage you to commit this particular passage of Scripture to memory. Verse 11, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. That's Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 through 14. Now the word quit in 1 Corinthians 16 through 13, which we just read, means not to just sit down and give up, folks. What it means is to set yourself aside and show yourselves to be a man. Do not be a doctrinal wilting wimp that puts away his sword when challenged by the compromised and doctrinally corrupt heretics and apostates in American churches. Now, I have a series that I have titled Quit Ye Like Men, based upon 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13, and it deals with a lot of issues in its context that we all need to pay much attention to. Okay, our sixth reason for why a study of doctrine is important is a study of doctrine molds character. Proverbs 23, verse 7 states this, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee." If in your heart you think, believe, and teach false doctrine, then you become that. You become the personification of false doctrine. In other words, you become a false prophet and a false preacher that brings in what the Apostle Peter referred to as damnable heresies. And finally, number seven is a study of doctrine is necessary because false doctrine grieves the Holy Ghost and hinders worship. We see that documented scripturally in Matthew chapter 15, verses 8 and 9, and John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24, and John 16, verses 13 and 14. Matthew chapter 15, verses 8 and 9, reads as follows. "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." That's Matthew chapter 15, verses 8 and 9. Next up we have John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. "But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." That's John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. Now we have John chapter 16, verses 13 and 14. Verse 13, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you." That's John chapter 16, verses 13 and 14. Now note from Matthew chapter 15, verses 8 and 9, that worship that does not come through a clean heart before it comes out of the mouth is vain worship. From this same passage, we are told that worship that comes through the false doctrines and commandments of men is vain worship. In John chapter 4, verses 23 through 24, we are told that if we are able, that if we are to worship God, we are to do it in spirit and in truth. Truth is sound biblical doctrine. Most of what goes on in American churches is the worship of the God of this world. Most American churches have forsaken the doctrines of the Bible for doctrines of devils, and there can therefore be no worship of God. The spirit that dominates most American churches is a spirit of this age, and that spirit is the spirit of Antichrist. Most American churches, what goes on in American churches is the worship, again, of the God of this world. Also, the spirit that dominates, again, most of the churches in America is the spirit of Antichrist. Most Christians today are not under the anointing of the Holy Ghost because they have buried him in their sin. They cannot worship because they have grieved the Holy Ghost. Oh, they can get worked up in the flesh, but that is not worship, folks. Many times worship is manifested by a meek and quiet spirit, such as that experienced during many communion services. Let me say this. One of the best services that I have ever been in was a communion service where that meek and quiet spirit was moving throughout that congregation. The presence of God was so strongly felt there that it was one of the most amazing events that I have ever experienced. Now, to summarize, there are at least seven reasons why we should study doctrine. They are this. It is a command of God. It is required of pastors, preachers, and teachers. It is required of all believers. It is a must for the protection of the church in these days of apostasy. It produces strong men of God. It molds character. And false doctrine grieves the Holy Ghost and hinders worship. Now, we have just got through quoting Matthew chapter 15, verses 8 through 9, where in verse 9 it says, "But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." We have a series that we prepared where those two verses in Matthew chapter 15 were the theme verses of that series. And that series is titled Satan's Counterfeits. And it is loaded up to our website in both an audio format, and there's also a PDF document available for that. If your doctrine is not right, your worship is in vain. I didn't say it. The Bible says it. Now, we're going to move on into some of the specific areas in our Bibles where the word doctrine is used. And we're going to talk now about Old Testament teaching concerning doctrine. The word doctrine occurs 56 times in our King James Bible. Therefore, we conclude that doctrine is very important to God. If the word doctrine had occurred only once in our King James Bibles, it should be of utmost importance to us because God said it. It does not matter whether I believe it or not. God said it, and that settles it. If you do not believe it or are reluctant to receive it, then you have a problem with God and His Word. The first appearance of the word doctrine in our King James Bibles occurs in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 1 and 2, which state the following. "Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth." Let me read that again. "Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth, my doctrine." There it is, folks. Doctrine is the words of the mouth of the God of heaven. Goes on to say, "My doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew, as a small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. So, in its first appearance in our Bibles, the word doctrine is defined in the context as the words of my mouth. In other words, the Lord's mouth. The doctrine from your Bibles that is most frequently perverted is the doctrine of salvation. We can be wrong about many doctrines, but if we're wrong about salvation, it means an eternity in an eternally burning devil's hell. The doctrine that is most ignored by Christians today is the doctrine of sanctification and holiness. The word doctrine is not the only word that applies to teaching in the Bible. The words commandment, law, teach, and teaching are also used. The word doctrine is the root of the word indoctrinate. Many times the word indoctrinate is used in a negative sense by equating it with brainwashing. That is not the sense that it is used in your Bibles. Brainwashing is an instrument of perverting the truth, whereas indoctrination is the means of instilling the truth of the Bible into Bible believers. Let me read that to you again, folks. Brainwashing is an instrument of perverting the truth, whereas indoctrination is a means of instilling the truth of the Bible into Bible believers. They are enlightened and taught by the Holy Ghost from the only source of absolute truth on the face of this earth, and that is our King James Bibles. Now, we're going to look at 36 passages of Scripture that use the word doctrine 52 times. Isaiah 28, verses 9 through 13 tells us how we are to teach doctrine and also tells us the consequences of refusing to receive doctrine. Let's go and look at that passage. Isaiah chapter 28, verse 9, starting in verse 9. Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. But the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken therein. Notice, folks, the repetition within that particular passage of Scripture. I've said this time and again in my ministry. Repetition is the rock-solid foundation upon which biblical memories are built. According to the passage of Scripture we just read in Isaiah chapter 28, knowledge and doctrine from the word of the Lord gives us rest and a time of refreshing. Those who will not receive doctrine will backslide and fall into the snare of the devil. We think that both Peter and Paul had this passage in Isaiah in mind when the Holy Ghost moved them to say the following in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, and again, Hebrews chapter 5, verses 10 through 14. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and all hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. That's 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Next up, we have a passage of Scripture that we have read several times already in this presentation. That's in Hebrews chapter 5. We'll start in verse 10. Called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Folks, newborn babes in the Lord Jesus Christ need the sincere milk of the Word of God that they may be established in the faith. It is obvious from the apostate state of American Christianity that many babes in Christ have not fed themselves strong meat. In fact, we would go so far as to say most American church members have not even received the milk of the Word of God, which is the doctrine of salvation. Our churches are full of spiritually aborted babies and spiritually illiterate babies that are unable to discern between good and evil because their pastors and teachers will not teach the Word of God without compromise. Folks, that responsibility lays upon them also. It's not just the pastors and the teachers. The responsibility for this sorry state of affairs lies at the door of lazy, sinful Christians who will not study the Word of God. Their spiritual muscles have wasted away because of a lack of exercise in the Word of God. The Word of God is the Christian spiritual gym and gem, G-E-M. If you have a church that is full of murmuring Christians who lack biblical understanding, there's a good chance that they have not been taught or learned doctrine according to Isaiah chapter 29, verse 24, which states this: "They also that erred in spirit shall come to understanding, and they that murmured shall learn doctrine." Isaiah chapter 29, verse 24. So we see that an education, a thoroughgoing education in doctrine will decrease the murmuring in a church. Isaiah also states that those that err in spirit lack understanding. It is instructive that erring in spirit is connected to doctrine. You need to think about that. Thank you for joining us today. We look forward to our second presentation in this series. We have titled The Importance of Sound Bible Doctrine.